felt homesick so badly before that it would rise bile in my mouth when I thought about home. Operation event, or if I'm gone for training for 4 months away from my family, to be there. Safe. Now, all of us probably felt home if it was your first school, or to go to a trade school, or to start your first job in a different country. You left the kids at home. Maybe you feel a little homesick. You even from the house. Some of us here, you realize that be, and now you've got to look for a realtor and buy a home here in Esses Park. You didn't realize you were home the whole time. They can make us away from a place of comfort. Place of safety, a place that we yearn. Be homesick for a place you've never been. No disrespect at all when I say this, but when Mike and Missy go to Indiana. So it's hard. Homesickness for a place. There's other times where we can almost relate to that we've never actually been to. Have you ever seen maybe a movie that really captures feeling almost at a location that you've never been to before? For me, I like watching movies in old Ireland. There's just something about the hills and the cute little Irish cottages and the funny little accents they talk with each other. And it makes me feel like that's where I would love to go back to. I've never actually been there, though, so someday. Something feel like we're yearning for heaven. We desire heaven. What are the things that when we have a better home somewhere else. We are. Right? No one likes that long road trip on the way. Worth it, right? Well, we trip to heaven, but it's worth it, is what God says. But one of the things, sometimes we say, God, why is it so hard here in life? Why is it so hurtful? Why am I suffering so much? And I think part of it, even though God can alleviate our sufferings, part of it, this is not where you should want to be. This is not your real home. I want you to be homesick for the struggles of life, the difficulties that we have to put up with. They remind us that we are homesick for a greater place. That's the idea that Paul is trying to encourage the church in Corinth with. read verses 1 through 10 to get a glimpse of what heavenly 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. A house not made. For indeed, but we are of good conscience from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment of Christ, so that each one may receive done, whether in this passage, contrasting with right now we're in an uncomfortable tent, so to speak. Right now we're in a tent, but we're looking forward to having see, a tent is not supposed to be up and move it somewhere else. So he says here, starting our earthly tent, this is our, but it's also our physical lives. Your physical relationships, your physical economic situation, your physical stuff, it's all temporary. It's a tent that's only here for a short while. We're looking forward to something that God is going to give us. Many of the same things the tent but if you've ever been in but more than that, our bodies are here on earth is accomplish what we've been designed to do. It's just like a tent in a storm. It's not up. It's not that good tent. I don't want to remember. But I was back there, way behind the landing strip where the big old bombers would come in. And, you know, a little bit of noise. It's not that big a deal. I'm awoken at 1 o'clock in the morning, sleeping on a cot in a tent, to thunder and lightning all around me. And I'm sitting there Googling, is it safe to be in a tent when there's lightning outside? It's not, in case you were wondering. And a close second is that one time I'm in a tent with my family. Some of you have heard this story. Maybe I'll just leave it, right? Tent with my family. 10 seconds are insufficient. When there's a bear right outside and there's nothing between you and the bear, for a brave wife who's there with a dog to defend you, realize how insufficient the tent is. And that's what Paul is using this. Our life on this earth. He says, indeed, in this tent we groan, longing for our dwelling in heaven. In fact, he says, we are actively anticipating an upgrade. That's part of what homesickness is, that upgrade. You see, I know, I think Gabe's a young strapping and he's got a whole life ahead of him. But I'll tell you, I'm starting. My knees don't feel as nice when I walk. My elbows hurt. Wise and experienced man had told me the anticipation for the talking about physical weakness. Life, right? We have to worry about what the political system is doing to our children in the schools. What a horrible situation we have to deal with. A lot of what we have to wonder is Russia going to child that has rebelled so hard. It hurts. And so we're looking to that upgrade when there will no longer be pain and tears. He says in verse 3 that after we put on that reality, we will not be found naked. He uses this contrast of being clothed versus being naked. It's like every first day of school, you forgot your new clothes. You've been designed for something, but you're not able to fully clothed. But right now, and that's the contrast he's giving here for what it's like here. We will have an upgrade someday. But our bodies can be finished her race on Tuesday. In her final days and hours, she was uncomfortable. And that's what she said. She told us, and when she was here just a couple weeks before, she said, I'm afraid of dying. In this tent groan, being burdened because we clothed, so that that which is mortal will be swallowed up by life. You see, we are designed to be. Did you know that you were designed to be immortal? If you don't believe me, it's right there in verse 5. You were designed to be immortal, and yet you wake up in this mortal existence. It's going to be uncomfortable. But then, used to this mortal existence, the aspect, the potential, the truth that we are mortal. There's this uncomfortable. Bob, at the time, that it wasn't traumatic transition at least one time in our life. It says, there's this illustration, I think another preacher came up that said, God and this to the baby, he says, baby, it's almost time for you to be. And the baby says, born? And God says, it's the transition. It's where you get here in the womb to the life that I have prepared for you. The baby sits here and goes, but I like it here in the womb. It's nice. I hear the voice of mom about being here in the womb. There's something even better. What could be better than here in the womb? Well, you know, good with this, I mean, muffled though it may be, it's so comforting, but it'll be better on the outside, baby. You're going to see the color blue. To enjoy food. You're going to learn to work. You're going to learn from mom and dad. I don't understand any of those things. Baby, it's going to be better. Okay, you sold me on this idea. I'm happy. Easy? No. It's going to take a while. Well, is it painful? Yes, baby. The transition is going to be painful. But I promise you, baby, that when you get on the outside, it is. And all the pain that you go through in that transition, you will. Every single person has made that transition. And yet we're equally afraid of the next transition, aren't we? Because we don't know. Heaven's gonna be like streets of gold. I don't. Asphalt's just fine for me. But see, that's God's way of trying to say, no, it's so awesome. The best thing I can tell you is that the thing you've got is nothing here. I'm not much for playing instruments, playing a harp, not. But you don't understand. You'll be able to praise and worship me. You don't need a son. I will be there. And he's trying to communicate in a way that, how do you tell a baby the color blue? How do you tell Christians about the home that awaits them on the other side? And if she could be here, says he has given us the Spirit like a down payment. It's like the promissory payment you make when you're trying to buy a house. I remember the first time I bought a house, put down the, I thought this was like last. I can't pay that right now. But you see, it's just a down payment saying, I'm serious. I'm serious. I'm intentional. I will buy this house and give you the rest later. That's what a pledge is. And it's his. I'm curious about you. My point of view. Is that down? Have more of God's character. Who God He knows that It's hard for us. Paul describes in groans. It's too deep for us that is thinking like God, is acting like God, and yet it's rebelling against what our politicians in the world. It's rebelling against. Right? That's, I think, what Paul means when he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. He rebels against the brokenness of this world because it's actually a piece of. Looking forward to heaven, but we're here. And so he tells us here. Knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. But we are of good courage and prefer rather to be absent from the body to be home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive compensation for his deeds done through the body in accordance with what he has done, whether good or bad. An ambitious future. But while we're sitting here, while we're homesick, we have some work to be done. Because you need to be courageous. In the context of 2 Corinthians, Paul is dealing with all kinds of persecution. In fact, not long after this letter, he will be arrested in Jerusalem, shipped off, shipwrecked, and then in house. And he's telling these Christians, he says, you know, I suffered, you guys suffered. And so in the meantime, though, we have courage. We don't let trouble, the broken, the discouraged, don't let those stop you from being God. And he says the reason we need to have courage, what we're going to realizes in you, right? It says we walk by faith, not by sight. In other words, he's not saying this is blind faith where you walk off to the cliff and hope there's something there to grab you. No, this is the idea that God has said, heaven's great, I'm heaven, and yet you haven't yet realized it. But you're walking with assurance that it's coming. Thing. Someone who's striving too high, kind of like this man who thinks of themselves as a queen. But he says, no, we have an ambition that while we're here, be courageous, forceful. And what is that ambition pushing us towards? He said, and we're going to be pleasing to him while we're here. We'll get to be pleasing to him. Perfection, that little bit of reflection in. Throne of Christ. Our ambition as God's people is to desire heavenly homes, part of that having a mindset. picture towards which I aspire. It's the tried a new tactic in the last couple hundred years. And from my assessment, it seems that at times it's working. Because it certainly works in my life. Whereas instead of the persecution in the lion's den, instead of the crucifixions and the burning on the torches, you realize that just spreads Christianity faster because everyone sees how committed they are to this faith. But what if I instead bless them with a country that is a Christian nation? If you're in America, you're going to be a Christian. And while you're in America, I'm going to make life. You're going to be more worried about whether or not you can put money in your IRA than whether I'm going to make their lives easy. Now I'll throw a little hard things in there. And it ebbs and flows every 4 years when we get a new administration. It's all here. Want. I'm the only one in this room that feels it. Where when I am too comfortable, I don't want heaven. Now that's a horrible, un-Christian thing to say, right? And it's worth. Make it good enough here. Paul says the sufferings of life can be a good lesson to that. Displeased when you have a comfortable with the world, be homesick for heaven because it's going to be better. And so Paul says we need to be earnestly looking forward to the building and to make clothed rather than being satisfied naked. We live in faith, knowing that it's something we're going to have in the future. These are all have that home. Maybe you've been struggling. I've been so caught up in trying to make this heaven, I've some focus on the real heaven. Not that I ever would say I never want to go to heaven, but look at what my resources are. Look at what my look at what's consuming my thoughts. Am I focused on remember this tent is insufficient. It's only there's a perspective. We're recommitted to putting our ambition towards pleasing God. Now, maybe there's a need in heaven trying to be encouraged.